The following presentation is from North Pine Baptist Church. We trust that it will help you learn more about God and His message for the world. For more information and to connect with us, visit npbc.org.au.
Well, good morning, church. Here we are. It's the last day of 2024. And there's this interesting thing that happens when you get to the new year. So in about 62 hours and 25 minutes, actually, it's going to be 2025. And what's going to happen when we get to 2025 is there's going to be this sense of people are going to be like, I want a new start. I want something fresh. It's really interesting how it's just another day, and yet when we go into a new year, we want to do something different or do something fresh, or we use that time for a clean slate or a new lifestyle choice. And so this has led to the very popular tradition of having a New Year's resolution. Now, very close on the heels, hot on the heels of the popular tradition of New Year's resolutions is the equally popular tradition of breaking your New Year's resolution. So there was a study, an actual study about this, a survey from 2022, and it revealed that 23% quit their New Year's resolution by the end of the first week. 23%. By the end of the first month, only 36% are still persevering with their New Year's resolution. So already 64% have dropped off. And altogether, in that particular survey, only 9% successfully made a change as a result of a New Year's resolution that they had put in place. And so when it comes to making changes in our life and wanting things new and wanting to do something different, there are many times when we've got heaps of intentions and very poor execution. And that's not just when it comes to our life in general. It's equally true when it comes to our spiritual life as well. And we're going to talk about that today. And to help us to do that, we're going to read Ephesians 4, 17 to 32. So this is, Paul has written the book of Ephesians. He writes to them and he says, "So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. That, however, is not the life that you have learned. When you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus, you were taught with your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those who are in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may be benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." So, it's talking here about the old life. So what is the old life that needs to be made new? Well, the old life is the Gentile life. It's described there as living the Gentile life. It's a life where these Gentiles have a religious experience that has nothing to do with Jesus. And so they grew up in a system where there was many gods, not just the one and only God, and there was even the divine God, the living God, who was called Caesar. And they grew up in a system where they had to appease the gods or the gods would not help you. And it was a system where some of the gods were actually worse and corrupt, more corrupt than humans. And so in connection with this lifestyle, in connection with this series of gods that they had, the Gentiles kind of had a free-for-all living life where they kind of made their own rules, and if it felt good, you would do it. There was no consequences if I indulged. There was no guilt. There was no darkness. There was nothing. No one could judge me. This is the Gentile life. And Paul comes into Ephesus in one of his missionary journeys, and he brings the gospel to the Ephesians who were living the Gentile life. And when they come to understand the Gentile life, there's a transformation that takes place in the life of the Gentiles. And so the ministry of the gospel, the good news, comes forward, and this spiritual transformation comes through the preaching of Paul. And it's a transformation that makes a huge difference in the life of all of these people who are Gentiles. The message of the gospel taught them that they were in rebellion. It worked better at home. There we go. They were in rebellion towards the God of the heavens and the earth. And the Gentile life is a place of spiritual darkness and of sin and of brokenness. And the good news that Paul brought, and the good news that continued to be brought, is that there is hope. The good news of the gospel is that there is a Savior. His name is Jesus. Wonderful Counselor, Everlasting God, Prince of Peace, Mighty. And when we put our faith in Jesus, when we put our hope in the resurrection of Jesus, we put off this former life and we put on and have put on a new life, a transformed life. So what we need to understand is that in Ephesians 4:22-24, the putting off and the putting on moment described there is the moment of our conversion. The moment when we are made new in Christ. It's this once and forever action taken by a believer where we strip off the old filthy rags and the old stained life and our continual resistance and rejection to God, and where we are clothed in righteousness and holiness that comes to us through Jesus. Now this morning I want us to really focus on that moment and the significance of that moment. Because when it comes to this idea of putting off and putting on, we can look at this and go, oh, it feels like we're talking about changing clothes. And so here I am today, and I woke up feeling pretty spiritual. And because I woke up feeling spiritual today, I can feel confident that I've put on Jesus. That I've got the righteousness and holiness of Jesus, that I've put on this clean garment. And then later on, I go to work. And I'm finding myself very frustrated at work because at work there's a colleague, Not my work. I'm just this imaginary story. At my work, there's a colleague who is just so annoying. And it isn't just me. Everyone in the building says, that man is so annoying. And so I start getting caught up in this language. And I start thinking things about that person which are not very Jesus-like. And I even say things to other people about that person which are really not Jesus-like at all. And so because of my attitude and my actions, I'm not really spiritually close to Jesus at that point. And then later on, or maybe in the midst of this, I might even be at work, I start thinking about what I've done. And I look over on the floor and I've thrown the garment of Jesus on the floor. And I look down at myself and I realize that I'm covered in filth. And there's this putting off and putting on mindset that happens. Now what I want us to understand is that sort of thinking, that is New Year's resolution theology. Where it comes up to me and it's my responsibility to put off and put on, and we sort of think, oh, for a moment I've put Jesus off and I've put something else on. And the problem with this sort of theology is it thinks that putting off and putting on Jesus is this ongoing process. And so I've put on Jesus. I've put on righteousness. I've put on holiness. And because I've put him on, I'm doing that because I want to live a different life. And I'm going to make a resolution. And I'm going to make the resolution that I'm not going to lie anymore. Because Jesus didn't lie, so I'm not going to lie. I'm going to put on the truth. And then my wife comes in with her new dress. And she says to me, does this dress make me look old? So I don't. Does that dress make me look old? Yeah. That dress doesn't make you look old at all. Okay, so maybe the resolution not to lie to protect the feelings of your wife is not breaking that resolution. But there's plenty of ways that we lie, don't we? It happens when we speak behind other people's back and we gossip, or we slander, or we lie when we condemn anyone without giving them a hearing. And so we feel like this resolution is broken, and I've gone back to the old self and I've taken off the clothing of Jesus, and now here I am again, and I'm stained and I'm filth in that old form of self which is meant to be put off. And I need to now put Jesus back on again because I resolved to live this life. You see, that's New Year's resolution theology. And the problem with New Year's resolution theology is what it forgets is that when it comes to Jesus and when it comes to putting on Jesus and when it comes to living in righteousness and holiness that is given to us by Jesus, that once that has happened, once we have put on Jesus, once we have confessed Jesus as Lord and as Saviour, once we've done all of those things, that is a once for all event. And so this once for all event means that no matter what happens from that point, I am clothed I am clothed with Christ. And I continue to be clothed with Christ. And my identity, because of Christ, stands in Him and in Him alone. Our conversion makes us new. It is our conversion that enables us to be created in true righteousness and holiness. It's our conversion that enables us to be clothed with Christ. And from that point on, I will continue to be clothed with Christ. Paul puts it this way in 2 Corinthians 5. He says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ. So once I'm reconciled to God through Christ, that continues to be true through into eternity and beyond. The old is gone, the new has come. That's what Ephesians 4 says. 22 to 24 is focusing on. It's focusing on this moment of transformation. When we are in Christ, the spiritual impact of our old life, it's gone. We are no longer separated from God. We are stopped being the enemies of God. The wrath of God is covered and is no longer destined. We are no longer destined for eternal punishment. In Christ, we are a new creation. In Christ, we continue to be a new creation. That is our identity. When we confess Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we are clothed with Jesus no matter how often we are tempted to cover our identity. So if that's our identity, why then does Paul in Ephesians 4:25 say, therefore each of you must put off? You see, when we are in Christ, we still need to put off falsehood and anger. We are clothed with Christ, yet we still need to put off the bitterness and the unwholesome talk. We no longer live the Gentile life, that's the former life, that's the old life, yet we still have issues with bitterness and with brawling and with slander. Why does Paul tell us that we need to put these things off? And the reason is this: yes, in Christ we are a new creation. The eternal side of things is sort of at our relationship, the eternal relationship with God is sort of, we are a new creation. But we are also still a work in progress. And so even after we have come to faith in Jesus Christ, we will still be tempted to do things that look like the old self. We will still have struggles with sin. And that's a reality that can really get you down, isn't it? What's the point of being in Christ if everything's not sorted out? And this is a reality that we struggle with and we feel guilty about, and it's a reality that God himself even recognizes. 1 John chapter 1 verses 8 to 10. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And he's talking to converted people, not unconverted. He's talking to the church. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word is not in us. If we say, hey, look, I really don't struggle with sin. I really don't struggle with temptation and all of that sort of stuff. We're just lying. We're telling God, lie. God, you're a liar. And we're just lying to ourselves. So even when we are a new creation, we still need to keep working on this putting off. So what's changed? What's changed? Before I am clothed with Christ, I need to put off. after I'm clothed with Christ, I need to put off. What has changed? Well, what has changed is my identity. My identity has changed. In Christ, we are a new creation. In Christ, we continue to be that new creation. My identity has changed from the Gentile former life to being in Christ, to being held in Christ. And so the reason now that I'm putting things off is not because I need to come back to Jesus and be converted once again. I am in Christ. I am a new creation. The reason that I want to put off now is because this stuff is not consistent with my identity. If I'm in Christ, I'm a new creation. I want to live like Christ, and I want to put all of this stuff off so that my identity shines through. And I don't want to try and cover up my identity with the sin and the guilt. And so I will seek to put off falsehood. I do that because that's not compatible with my identity. And I will seek to do good works and be have a good work ethic because stealing isn't compatible with my identity. And I will avoid unwholesome talk and putting others down, because such language is not, it's not compatible with my identity. And I will get rid of all bitterness and rage and anger and brawling and slander along with any form of malice, because it's not compatible with my identity. I will be kind and compassionate and forgiving, because that is compatible with my identity. And so I'm going through life and I'm asking the question all the time as a believer, what's my identity? And my identity is I am in Christ. I am a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. I can stand before the Lord in hope and assurance and a real sense of peace that God has got me for eternity, not because of me, but because of Christ and my identity that he has given me. And that will continue to be my identity even when I fall into temptation, even when I sin. You see, it's not about us making the resolution. God, I'm gonna do things and I'm gonna be more like you and I'm gonna live like you. It's not about us. It's about what Jesus gives us. Jesus gives us an identity so that as we move forward from now into the time when he returns or we pass away, that we are equipped with Christ. We have this identity that withstands all of this. It withstands the unwholesome talk. It withstands the anger. It withstands the gossip. It withstands the lies. It withstands the adultery. It withstands whatever sin you want to imagine, because it's about my identity, who I am in Christ. And in Christ, the payment for sin is covered. What an amazing thing to think about. That in Christ, the old has gone. We are not identified by the old. We are identified by the new. We have been clothed with Christ. And no sin will be able to prevent us from continuing to receive God's ongoing forgiveness that is for us each and every day. It is out with the old and in with the new, every moment of every day, because I am a new creation in Christ. Let me pray. Lord God, we thank you that you have given a comprehensive answer to our sin. that you have comprehensively in Christ dealt with the temptation, the shame, the guilt, the brokenness, the darkness, that you've dealt with it all, Lord, because of your work. As we move forward, Lord, from this day, as we go into a new year, I pray that for each one of us, that the resolution that we have is a resolution to trust in Jesus, to put on Jesus. Lord, and if there are people here today who haven't done that, who haven't reached out to Jesus and taken hold of the mercy and grace that he is offering, the forgiveness that he is offering, the eternal security that he is offering, we pray, Lord, that you will work in their hearts and their lives to bring them to that point. And for those of us who have come to that point, for those of us who have reached that point of conversion, Lord, may we understand the comprehensiveness of the newness that is ours, that we are clothed, that we continue to be clothed with Christ. And because that's our identity, we want to live as Jesus lived. We want to serve as Jesus served. We want to have our words as Jesus wants us to. But Lord, when we don't, when we fall short, when we sin, not if but when, that we can look down and we can see the clothing of Christ. And that's what brings us through to eternity. Thank you, Lord, for the assurance of salvation that is ours in Jesus. We pray these things in his name. Amen.
Thanks for joining us for this presentation from North Pine Baptist Church. For more information and to connect with us, visit npbc.org.au.